Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was a happy coincidence that we sang that song. Actually, it wasn't a coincidence. It was God working in the hymns that were chosen. I didn't realize until after I'd chosen the hymns and after I'd already sent them in and stuff like that, that that hymn was written about Psalm 90, which is our sermon text for tonight. And Isaac Watts does just an incredible job of bringing out some of the themes that we see in Psalm 90. Now, I want to talk about that psalm this evening, but first I want to talk a little bit about, you know, this time of year, especially right at the end of the year. This is the time of year when we do a lot of reflecting. And in fact, not just in the church. Our culture does sort of the same thing. If you open your internet browser right now and you have those, you know, suggested pages, probably you'll see one or two lists looking back on all kinds of stuff, you know, that was in this particular trip around the sun that we call 2019. One of the most popular things that tends to pop up is lists of celebrities who we've lost during the past year. And like most years, you know, we lost some big names this year. Peter Mayhew, who's better known as Chewbacca, you might know him. Gloria Engel, you might remember her from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, or if you are younger than the Mary Tyler Moore Show, if you watched Nick at Night, you might remember Gloria Engel. Luke Perry, if you're my age, I didn't watch 90210 when I was a kid, but he was on that, and he was only 52 when he passed away. We lost Russi Taylor, who voiced Minnie Mouse, and we lost Carol Spinney, who voiced both Oscar the Grouch and Big Bird. We even lost Grumpy Cat this year, everybody. And if you don't know who Grumpy Cat is, you should Google it. It's pretty funny. Anyway, as you flip through those lists, you're probably called something like celebrities that we've lost in 2019. And what they convey is very clear. You know, it's a sentiment around this time of year. What they convey is that as we move into the new year, we do so without some people. That we've lost something, that we lack something as we move into 2020. And as we collectively begin this new year, we do it without some people. We do whatever it is that we're going to do in the next 365 days, and we got to figure out how to do that without these people in our lives. And it's kind of a depressing way to start out the new year, really. Especially if you've lost some people close to you, or if there's people on those lists whose work you really enjoy. Depressing, yeah. But it's also true. It's also a very true and realistic way to look in the new year. See, this is one place that we can see kind of eye to eye with people who don't share our faith. Because seeing another year slip by means reflecting on those around us that we've lost, or things around us that we've lost. Maybe it's not people, maybe it's opportunities that we've lost as well. What didn't you do in 2019 that you were going to? What could you have done in 2019 that you passed up? Now, I don't know this, but that's a pretty ominous question, and I would bet that the practice of New Year's resolutions came from reflecting on exactly that. What we haven't done in the year past. You know, I let another year slip by without getting in shape, or I let another year slip by without getting my finances in order, or getting married, or getting promoted, or going on a trip with my kids, or, you know, whatever the thing is, I'll get to it next year, next time around, right? It's around New Year that we kind of get a sense of urgency about these things, about our plans, about finishing the things that we need to finish. And why the sense of urgency right now? We don't probably want to admit it, but I think the sense of urgency comes as the year changes from the knowledge that deep down, we know that we don't have that many New Year's resolutions to make. And that's why the list of celebrities that we've lost this year always comes out around now, because whether we want to admit it or not, the turn of a year, the turn of the new year, it's a time when the reality that life is finite and it's fleeting comes into much sharper focus. And that's what's happening in Psalm 90. That's what's happening in our hymn by Isaac Watts. See, this is the only psalm in the whole book of Psalms that's credited to Moses. It's hard to know exactly what's going on when this psalm was written. But one thing's for sure, and that's that the things that we reflect on, the things that are in the back of our minds as New Year's rolls around, are very much in focus for Moses as well when he writes Psalm 90. There's probably nowhere else in the entire Bible when it's so clear that our days are numbered as human beings. He writes this. He says, our lives are like a dream. They're like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and it withers. And listen, Moses is not just waxing poetic about the fact that life is here today and gone tomorrow. That's true. That's the case. It is. But the difference between his words and the thoughts that are behind those lists of celebrities that died in 2019, the difference is this. Moses understands why. He understands why. Why? It's the wrath of God. It's God's anger and his punishment against human sin. Now, before I go any further, let me make one thing very clear. This psalm and this sermon are not telling you to look back on bad stuff that happened to you in 2019 and say, God did that to me because I sinned. That's not what I mean. That's not what the psalm means. That's not how it works. Read Luke 13. Jesus says that's not how it works. Rather, Moses and this sermon are getting at the reality that comes into view at the end of the year, the reality that came into the world after the fall. The reality of death. That death is a curse and is the result of sin. In fact, Moses even references Genesis 3:19. You return man to dust, he says in the psalm. And this is the reality that comes into view for us as we put another year under our belt. The reality that we all live in the shadow of death. That we don't know how many New Year's resolutions we've really got left to make, and that's a scary thing. But in the Christian worldview, we can at least understand why. That death is the result of sin. Now, there's more in Psalm 90 than just the depressing stuff. There's more to the psalm than just reflection on the finite nature of human life. In fact, there's a lot more. See, there's also a great deal of reflection on the infinite magnitude and in the eternal nature of our God. He says, 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. It's a little bit different than our years, right? He says our years are 70 or 80 or something like that, but God is from everlasting to everlasting. He is eternal. He is always. In other words, this world and this thing called time that we experience, it's going to keep crawling on. Isaac Watts calls it time's ever-flowing stream. It's going to keep crawling on. Our lives are going to keep moving forward, and someday when we wake up, it'll be our last day on earth, and that'll be the day that we die. Our time on this earth will be over, and time itself is going to keep crawling on without us. But see, the blessing of Psalm 90, the gospel in Psalm 90, is that there's something bigger than these slow and these unstoppable forces. There's something bigger than the steady flowing stream. There's something bigger that's outside and that's independent of this march of time that destroys kingdoms and disintegrates ships and buries cities. There is a God who's more powerful than this force to which all human beings will one day succumb. There's a God who's bigger than all that stuff. But even that doesn't really matter unless that God is for us. Unless that God offers us a bit of that eternity as well. I mean, who really cares unless this God, this all-powerful and almighty creator, would offer himself to us so completely that we, his people, might be with him in eternity? What does it really matter unless this God entered into our time and felt it flow past him? And did his own reflecting and his own resolving, and even died, not so he could experience something that we experience, but so that he could save us, so that he could set us free from this slow and this steady and this terrifying onward march of time. And as you know, that is exactly what happened on Christmas. right? The season we're celebrating right now. God comes to be in time with us in flesh, and he comes to die for us. In the beginning of Psalm 90, Moses starts it off by calling God our dwelling place in all generations. That's an important way to start. See, that doesn't just mean that he was our dwelling place to save us from the stuff that we encountered in this life or something like that. He's not just a refuge from the pain that you experienced from losing your house or facing conflict with people at work or at school or something like that. He is those things. Don't get me wrong. But God being a refuge is more than just God being a coping mechanism. God is the only refuge because he is the only one who defeated death. He's the only solution to our real problem, that problem that's in the back of our mind around right now. Satisfy us, Moses writes, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice all of our days. That's what he does Christmas morning. And that's what he does Easter morning. That's what he does in Jesus. And what Moses says is that this whole thing has immediate effect. The steadfast love of God means not only that your end here isn't the end of you, the steadfast love of God also means that your life has purpose. You got a reason for being here, and that can only be true if there is something outside of time, a God who is outside of this universe of death and decay. And you know why? Because if God's not there, then the grave is the end of your life. But if God is there, and if Christ is risen, if he sent Jesus to die for you, then one day you're going to walk out of your grave just like he did. And therefore, the things that you do, they don't die with you. What you do in 2020, it matters. And that completely changes how we look at life. It completely changes how we look at this new year. Your life means something. It means something. In fact, it is worth the blood of Christ to God. And that means your life is a gift. It's a gift to you. 2020 is a gift to you. Every single precious day and hour and minute and second is a gift from a God who loves you and who calls you to live out those days and hours and minutes and seconds in a way that exudes his love and his goodness and his mercy and his compassion to all of those people that he's put in your life. Now, we started this whole thing with a conversation about a list of celebrities that we've lost in 2019, and it may not have escaped your attention that we do something very similar towards the end of the church year. It's on All Saints Day. And we remember all the people that we've lost since the last November 1st. It's similar, but it's also very different. Because we do much more than mourn the loss of these people. We do much more than remember how much we miss them. We do much more than think about that life is going to be more difficult going forward. Because on All Saints Day, each name that is called, each time our bell is rung, that is another soul that is saved by our God. It is another person for whom Jesus died, and another person whose life was lived to the glory of God, and another person who death had absolutely no claim on. All Saints Day is a day that celebrates life. And it celebrates the hope that we talk about and we live our lives about today, the hope that gives us fearlessness in dying and joy and purpose in living. So, may that same hope be central to your life in 2020. May you live knowing the reality of death, but always clinging to the promise of life. And may God grant you the wisdom to realize your purpose in Christ throughout this upcoming year. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.